Good afternoon and welcome to the December 18th, 2007 edition of Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow here on KUER in Little Rock. I'm Phil Merridge, your host. Glad you guys could be with us today on Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Our topic today is Kwanzaa, but before we get into that, I do want to give you a couple of announcements. First off, I mentioned several months back that we were going to have a new website, and that is up and running now thanks to the Internet Technology Group with Dr. Thomas Wallace here at UALR. They've given the program a great new website, and I think you'll enjoy taking a look at that on KUAR.org. Just click on programming, scroll all the way to the bottom to Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And then also, if you're not able to stay with us for the whole program, you can go to KUAR.org and click on podcast. You'll be able to listen to the longer version of the program there. But again, as I mentioned, our program topic today is Kwanzaa. At the outset of the program, I do want to mention to you that I don't know very much at all about Kwanzaa. I know it's been around for quite some time. I guess about 1966 is when it was originated with Dr. Maulana Karenga out in California. But interestingly enough, of all the programs that we've done over the last 8 years, this is the first topic that we've covered that actually is at the beginning of a social experience or movement for anybody that actually is experienced by the living generations now. Most of the other, well, all of the other topics we have done go back forever. I mean, any topic we've done over these years, you could go back to your great-great-great-great-grandfathers and talk about those topics. But this is a new topic that only is occurring for those living generations now, the GI generation on, are the first to experience Kwanzaa. And that's why I thought it'd be a very interesting program to be talking about today at the holiday time. And let me give you just a basic description of Kwanzaa, and then my guests will be able to talk to us about how relevant that description is. Kwanzaa is a unique African-American celebration with focus on the traditional African values of family, community responsibility, commerce, and self-improvement. Kwanzaa is neither political nor religious, and despite some misconceptions, is not a substitute for Christmas. It is simply a time of reaffirming African American people, their ancestors, and culture. Kwanzaa, which means first fruits of the harvest in the African language Kiswahili, has gained tremendous acceptance. Since its founding in 1966 by Dr. Maulana Karenga, Kwanzaa has come to be observed by more than 18 million people worldwide, as reported by the New York Times. And that's a rather cold description of Kwanzaa, but for many of us, myself including, I really don't know that much about Kwanzaa, but with my guests here today, we'll be able to really get a great description of what Kwanzaa means for us here in 2007. My guest with me, speaking from the older generation, and joining us by phone from her office, is Ajua Ayatoro. She's a professor of law at the UALR William H. Bowen School of Law. She's an assistant professor of law there, and she joined the law school faculty in 2004. And before joining the faculty, she had a career as a human rights attorney, and Professor Ayatoro has extensive experience working domestically and internationally to obtain remedies for historical and present-day wrongs to people of color, women, and other oppressed groups. She represented the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom in 2001 at the World Conference Against Racism. And in 1995, she coordinated the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Laws delegation to the United Nations Conference on Women in Beijing, and also represented the organization at the 2000 Beijing Plus Five. She's speaking from the older generation and joining us from her office. Welcome to the program, Dr. Ayatoro.
Thank you.
And then joining me here in the studio, speaking from the middle generation, is Garbo Hearn. She has the Hearn Fine Art Gallery, which is over at 500 President Clinton Avenue, and one of the most active organizers around for the Kwanzaa activity. Speaking from that middle generation, Garbo Hearn, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And then joining us from the younger generation is Nicholas Norfolk. And Nicholas Norfolk is a student here at UALR. He's the Chief Justice of the Student Government Association. Did I say that right, Nicholas?
Yes, you did.
Getting back to the idea of Kwanzaa, and I do want to start with you, Dr. Ayatoro. Going back before, well, when you were a young girl growing up and there wasn't anything even called Kwanzaa then, what are your earliest recollections of the aspects of Kwanzaa that began to appear in your life?
I think the aspects that began to appear in my life was, of course, the whole focus on family. Our family always got together on Christmas, and it was the family, our cousins, aunts, everyone got together at either my aunt's home, and when she got older, at my mother's, at my home with my family. And so I think that the first recollection that connects to Kwanzaa is the issue of family and embracing family and supporting family. The second thing is looking at the issues of community and unity. Unity really focuses on working within and on behalf of the Black community. And part of that for me is looking at how my parents particularly were very civic minded, and they were involved in civic organizations such as the Urban League. My father was a volunteer at a hospital and as he retired. So looking at those kinds of things and seeing how they put family first and then worked within the Black community, but then even with the larger community to forge some unity.
Did the word Kwanzaa just kind of sneak up on your family, or was there like a certain year that Kwanzaa became known to you as Kwanzaa?
I was trying to think as I was considering being on the call when I first started practicing Kwanzaa. I believe I began hearing about it in the late 60s, maybe a couple of years after Dr. Karinga founded it. And my sister and I really began practicing it in the early 70s, maybe 70, 71. And we began practicing it and having Kwanzaa at our home starting in the early 70s.
Well, you know, I mentioned in the introduction that it's a misconception that it is a substitute for Christmas. So how did you know what to do about Kwanzaa in those early days? Was there some sort of literature that was available from Dr. Karinga, or what was available for people to know exactly what to do?
Well, as the word was being spread, there were, you know, pamphlets being written. I'm sure many of the things that were being distributed were distributed through Dr. Karinga and his organization, and others were probably being adopted from things they read from him and passing around. So we got information and pamphlets and flyers and things like that, or we went to programs and they would describe how to do it. So it wasn't that hard. It wasn't that difficult.
Well, you mentioned that you went to programs. How many programs were available to you then?
Not many. It might be one program or something that talked about it. So many organizations in many cities, they have different organizations. Like in St. Louis, where I'm from, now they have different organizations taking responsibility for a specific day of Kwanzaa, the same in Washington, D.C. But back then, it may be one organization that did Kwanzaa. Maybe they did every day, or maybe they only picked a few. Most of the Kwanzaa was done in the private home.
Well, as I mentioned, that this is a unique experience for us on this program to have a topic that really starts from our first generations. When those first movements began to be known around the area, did it have like a snowball effect? Did it just gradually become aware to the point where now there is a designated celebration time?
Oh, I think it was always, if you're asking the time for celebration, I think it was always clear the dates it started, and I think it was clear what you did on each day, what the principle was for each day. I know that it gradually increased such that you can go pretty much anywhere now and people have heard of Kwanzaa, particularly in the Black community, I'll put it that way. People have heard of Kwanzaa. They may not practice it, but they've heard of it. And I think it was gradual.
As I was thinking about this topic, I was trying to remember when I first started remembering the word Kwanzaa. And in my own recollection, just as a middle-aged guy, it seemed to be like maybe 5 or 8 years ago at the most that I even began to hear the word Kwanzaa. Is that halfway accurate?
Not for the Black community.
Not for the Black, okay, for the non-Black community.
Yeah, for the non-Black community it might be, but for the Black community, I'm sure you could still find somebody that says they haven't heard of Kwanzaa, but I think it's longer than 5 or 6 years ago that it has become well-known in the Black community. I would say at least 10 years ago, but
okay.
I'd like to hear what maybe Garbo has to say
well,
on that.
Well, that's what we're going to bring Garbo Hearn into the discussion right now. Garbo, in that middle generation time frame, you were shaking your head when I said 8 or so years ago for myself. When did you begin to be aware of Kwanzaa?
I began to celebrate Kwanzaa and know about Kwanzaa when the sister business of Hearn Fine Art, Pyramid Art Books and Custom Framing, and being the only African-American bookseller in Little Rock, my clients would come to me asking for books on how to celebrate Kwanzaa. And so we opened in 1988, and that was probably the first year that I was introduced to Kwanzaa. And we sold a lot of this book, Everything You Wanted to Know About Kwanzaa But Didn't Know Who to Ask. I mean, we sold it by the dozens. So I think that 1988 was the first year that I was introduced to it. I did not grow up celebrating Kwanzaa.
You didn't?
No.
Okay, then, so it sort of hit you like this is 1988, this is when it starts?
Well, no, I knew about it in college, but it wasn't anything that my parents didn't celebrate it, and my brothers and sisters were not really interested in it. So being in the bookselling business and that knowledge base of spreading throughout the community, it became my responsibility to know about Kwanzaa. And I took upon it, I read about it, I looked into it, and I really thought it brought a clarity to the beginning of the year. And it was never a substitute for Christmas, but I began to celebrate it at home and as well as professionally in my business.
Tell me now about the people that come into your gallery there, and are they well aware of the traditions that are now established for Kwanzaa, or is it still on a learning curve for people?
I think most of the people that I'm in contact with are pretty much aware of it. I mean, since 1988, we've done something in the community to acknowledge it. At the gallery every day. Well, since 1997, we have hosted the community celebration of Kwanzaa every day from 12 to 1. And then each day we have speakers and some form of entertainment that acknowledges the principle of the day. So I think that people are aware of it. And each time that we do it, we do get recognition and the TV stations show up and, you know, people call and ask. It's almost like we are the only people that know about Kwanzaa so at some point. But I think that people that look to us for information, and we still sell a lot of books. We sell a lot of the Kwanzaa kits that are necessary to celebrate Kwanzaa.
For you, as each year goes by, do you see that growth is incrementally more each succeeding year?
I do see the participation growing. I see the children of their parents bringing their children. So it's something that people are continuing to celebrate, and it's becoming tradition.
Are there some things coming up that you could tell us early on in the program for those who may have to leave before the program's over, some of the events that are planned or in line right now for Kwanzaa this year?
Well, actually, Kwanzaa starts December 26th, the day after Christmas, and it is celebrated through January 1st. And we are hosting the celebration and the ceremony each day from 12 to 1. And on that Sunday, which I believe is the 29th, we will be celebrating it from 2 to 3.
And this is right there at your gallery?
This is at the gallery at 500 President Clinton Avenue, Suite 110, Pyramid Art Books and Custom Framing and Hearn Fine Art.
Okay. Now, are there other events or other things going on in other areas or around the Central Arkansas area that people would know about?
Well, sometimes churches do acknowledge the last day, which is Imani, which they have a feast and the giving of gifts. And different churches have celebrated, but I don't have a official knowing of anybody particularly doing it this year. I just know what we're doing.
Well, let's bring Nicholas Norfolk in here in the younger generation. Nicholas, when we've been talking with Adagio Ayatora and also with Garbo Hearn here from the older and middle generation perspectives, what do young people think about Kwanzaa?
I think a lot of young people really are not aware of it. Myself, I didn't grow up, you know, practicing Kwanzaa. I wasn't really exposed to it until I came to college. And there was a program in my school, the Office of Campus Life, Minority Student Advocacy, put a program on about Kwanzaa. It was one day. It wasn't like we, you know, celebrated every day because, for one, we're not in school at that time. I was exposed to it at that point, and I was like, why don't a lot of other people, you know about it? If you were to ask someone on campus, besides that event, you know, a lot of people are like, I really don't know what you're talking about. And when I was growing up, I kind of got into it because someone in my church named her daughter Kwanzaa, and I was like, you know, that's a strange name, you know. And so I was like, why'd you name your daughter Kwanzaa? And of course, she told me why. And then I looked it up, and I was like, you know, that's pretty neat, you know. It's kind of like naming your daughter Christmas, I guess. A lot of people in my generation really don't know. It's a lot of things like that, you know. I know this is not Kwanzaa, but like Juneteenth, a lot of people really don't know. And if they do know, they don't really know the avenues or how to actually go about celebrating it. And then there's also a thing where a lot of people think that is like the opposite or anti, you know, Christmas, but really, you know, that's not the case.
Well, generationally speaking here, and Dr. Ayatora and also Garbo Hearn, you can chime in on this too, but I want to ask Nicholas about what you just mentioned there, that if there's many young blacks who aren't really aware of Kwanzaa, what about those confusions? Do you find your peer group that they really are in the dark on all the different things about Kwanzaa, or is there an avenue for young people to actually get into Kwanzaa?
I think there are avenues. I've noticed, like, in the past or here recently that, you know, they'll have things on TV, like, celebrating each day, which that's something that I think that we need, because a lot of people just need to be educated. It's not that they don't want to know. It's just that it's not presented to them in a manner in which they can understand. You know, a lot of people watch TV, so they're going to see that. But if you're someone that's an avid or voracious book reader, you'll probably go in and you can go to Barnes & Noble, any other bookstore, and you'll probably see something up about it. So you may say, okay, what is this? And you go and read. But a lot of other people, my generation, really don't know. You don't see, like, flyers on campus really about it, or you won't see a display in our library about it. So a lot of people really, you know, students, you know, won't really know.
Dr. Iattori, let me come back to you. When you observe the things that have come on since your early remembrances of Kwanzaa, and now when you see the people that are Nicholas of Norfolk's age, what is different about Kwanzaa for them that you see as compared to what you know about Kwanzaa?
For the most part, as I've experienced Kwanzaa in Little Rock, at the gallery and in Washington, D.C. and in St. Louis, I think that the tradition is being maintained. I don't see the difference in the actual celebration or the actual ceremonies that are held. There may be some difference if, for example, some people use a lot of candles, others don't. But the basic practice of going over the principle for the day, Garbo mentioned Imani, which is the last day of Kwanzaa, the 1st of January, that stands for faith. But going over the principle of the day, saying what that principle, someone saying what that principle means to them and talking on that principle has been pretty much the program since I started practicing Kwanzaa or celebrating Kwanzaa in the early 70s. I think the difference is a difference in numbers. I'm glad Garbo corrected me from 10 to 20. I think she's absolutely right. It's been more very familiar in the Black community for at least the past 15 to 20 years. I think it's in the numbers. And I have seen, and I understand what Nicholas is saying, but I have seen in both, in all the venues that I have celebrated it. For example, at the gallery, we get a nice number of young people coming. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't do more, and I think Nicholas is right, that there are probably quite a few young people who, if they haven't come up in Kwanzaa, have to be educated about it so that they can start celebrating it and start maybe even coming to the gallery to celebrate it there.
Well, Garbo Hearn, when you have your events there and you see these varying ages come through, do you recognize that the older people have a different celebration for Kwanzaa than the younger people, or, and does one of them have it a little more thoroughly ingrained in them than the other?
No, I think the tradition of how to do it is pretty much set. The way we do it is we start off explaining the ceremony, explaining the symbols, and we go through and give credit to our ancestors. We go through with the principles of the day. We have some form of visual or some form of entertainment, and no one has complained about how we do it. And we do get all ages, and we make sure that all ages participate. It's like before we start, the eldest person has to give us permission, and they pour the libation. The youngest person in the room lights the candles. So there's some things that are steeped in tradition of how to celebrate it.
Just
so,
for each day?
For each day.
An older person and a younger person do that each day?
Each day, yes.
Well, while we're on that, I think I probably ought to mention here, as a host of the program, I tried to stay in the dark a little bit about this because I wanted to reflect, I think, the misunderstandings that many of us have about Kwanzaa. But when I copied some information, I see that there's the first day, I can't pronounce the way it's pronounced, but it's Unity.
Yeah. Unity. It's Umoja.
Umoja.
Now, this second one is a killer for me. It means self-determination. What is that?
Kuji Chagalia.
See, I couldn't do that at all. Self-determination. The next one is collective work and responsibility.
Ujima.
And cooperative economics the next day.
Ujamaa.
Purpose the next day.
Nia.
Creativity the next.
Kaumba.
And then faith is the final.
Imani.
Okay, Garbo Hearn, take us through those and kind of briefly describe what each one of those days means through the celebration. Because I know for me, I don't know anything about Kwanzaa, and I'd like to learn about it. Those who are listening that either know a little bit or need to know more, tell us about those days.
I think that each day is a certain principle that each of us need to reflect on in our lives. And it's no one way to look at that principle. It really is a very personal thing that you have to say, that what am I going to do in the case of self-determination? What do I need to work on in myself to make me a better person? And then it's for me to write down and for me to know what I want to work on and for me to do it. In the case with my children, I said, okay, write down everything that you want to do in that principle and give it to me. And then we bring it out the next year and we say, well, did you do it? And that's the way that I use it incorporated in my household. So I think it's a very personal way in how you incorporate each principle in the clarity of your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me come back to Adagio Iatoro there with this question. I mentioned in that brief explanation that it was not a religious experience necessarily. Dr. Iatoro, as you've observed Kwanzaa, have you noticed it being mixed into religion at all?
I haven't noticed it being mixed into religion except for the last day, Imani. As Garble said, in many churches, I know in D.C., the big celebration was held at one of the bigger African-descended churches there, and a number of churches would hold Imani celebrations. So I haven't seen it be religious other than when we got to that day and it would be held in the church. But I do think that there is a spiritual component that is based on commitment to working within the African-descended community, a spiritual component which is, I think, you can see in the commitment to doing whatever we can to make ourselves individually as better people or as good as we can be, living up to whatever our potentials are, but then working collectively to see growth and development and support within the African descended community. So I kind of feel that as even though it's a social kind of a focus, I think it's also a spiritual focus.
Well, Nicholas Norfolk, in that younger generation, do the younger generation people see it a closer mix with religion than, say, the middle or the younger or the older generation? Do you guys connect it more with a church-based event-type deal or not?
I think it goes back to depending on how you were exposed to it. Some people were brought up with it in their home, while other people maybe found out about it on campus. So it just depends on, you know, it's a personal thing, kind of like what she was saying. And that's a big thing. You know, it depends on how you look at it and, of course, how you're going to observe it. Because one thing that we do at the school, we have a Emotional Greek show, which is supposed to be, of course, is unity. And it's centered around all the organizations coming together, you know, and we're going to do one big show. So in that aspect of things, people are like, okay, we can be unified and do something positive, you know, where everyone usually thinks that whenever we all come together, we're going to clash. So I think it's a personal thing, really.
We're talking about Kwanzaa here today on Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. I'm Phil Marriage, and my guest with me here in the studio is Garbo Hearn. She's speaking from that middle generation. She has the Hearn Fine Art Gallery. And then also in the studio is Nicholas Norfolk. He's the Chief Justice of the Student Government Association here at UALR. And then joining us by phone at her office is Dr. Adagio Iatoro, and she's in the middle of grading. We're at finals, and how are you doing on the grading there, Dr. Iatoro?
Doing.
Well, I do appreciate you taking time out from your schedule to join us here. Let me come back to you with a question about the black and non-black experience of Kwanzaa. I sit here as a non-black, and I don't know if I should participate or stay away from Kwanzaa activities. Is it appropriate for others to come into the Kwanzaa celebration too?
I think it's appropriate if they have a commitment to working within the African descended community particularly. I still participate in the spiritual center in North Carolina, and when I was going there a lot, what we would have during the holidays, they would do the Jewish celebration, the African descended celebration, and the Christian celebration of Christmas, so that, and if there was something, if the Muslims was having, the Muslim celebration doesn't come on the same time every year, then they would have a setup for that or talk about that. So I've been in settings that were multiracial that acknowledged and went through the principles of Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, as well as any Muslim celebration. And I think that was very appropriate because I think it teaches respect for different ways of dealing it with the holiday. I think it shows that you are concerned about learning about other cultures. And I think in some ways it leads to a more unified community because you're learning about it. You're not just hearing it and then developing a stereotype about it that still keeps people as other.
That idea of the other, those of us who are not African-American, in middle generation people, Garbo Hearn, do you find middle-aged people want to mix the non-black and the black together on Kwanzaa?
Primarily, what I've seen at the gallery, most of the people that do attend the ceremony are African American, but we do have Asians, Hispanics. All people come and all people are welcome. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is It is. That's probably one of the things that we struggle with in terms of saying it's just for African Americans, but I don't think it is. I think it should be for all people. I think all the principles that are identified are something that everyone should work on.
Nicholas Norfolk, is that the younger generation attitude about Kwanzaa too? Do you see it as an open door type of event?
Yeah, most definitely. I think it should be open to all. Just like with the Office of Campus Life putting on a Kwanzaa celebration, they put on a bunch of other celebrations to basically show respect to everyone else. And I think that's a great idea so we can all be exposed to it. And, you know, out of respect, you know, a lot of people want to know about a lot of other cultural celebrations because we all celebrate things in different ways. But it doesn't mean that their way or someone else's way is right or wrong. It's just that that's the way that, you know, we were brought up where we learn how to celebrate. So I'm open to it.
Well, Nicholas, as you, if you were to go ahead like 15 or 20 years from now, do you see that the Kwanzaa celebration being celebrated more than just African Americans, or do you think it's going to still be mainly an African American experience?
I think it'll probably open up, but I'm sure that a lot of an African American community will hold it, you know, closer and dear to it because it's something that started there. You know, it's, that's where the roots are. But I think a lot of other people will be a lot more accepting to it, and a lot of other people will want to know about it. I'm one of those people that I like to experience new things or experience something different. You know, it's kind of like you don't want to have a stereotype about something or, you know, have this preconception that's not, you know, valid. You know, when she was talking about the Muslim experience, when they did Ramadan like a couple of years ago, I said, I wanted to know what it really felt like to do it. So I did it. And, you know, at the end of it, I was like, those are really strong people. You know, and I'm like, you do this all the time, you know, and I did it for the whole period. And I was like, you people, you know, I believe what you're saying. You know, I'm not saying that you're right or you're wrong. I'm like, I understand why you feel the way that you do about your religion or your faith and how, you know, this time helps you, you know, connect with them more. So if someone else could experience Kwanzaa the same way, I think it'll actually help them as far as, you know, being on the inside, you know, as opposed to being on the outside.
Well, Garbo Hearn, as we look to the future for Kwanzaa, and again, going back to the fact that this is the first time we have our present-day generations seeing the birth of a movement that will go on into the future, what do you see for the next 20 or so years for Kwanzaa? Do you see it staying more or less in a line, a parallel line of experience, or do you see it broadening it out or narrowing?
I think it will broaden as people like yourself, the media, are paying attention to it, bringing it to the open for people to experience and find out about. I think that more people will want to celebrate it, and it will become celebrated at homes and churches or wherever people gather. And all nationalities, I think, will embrace it.
Well, Dr. Ayatollah, as you look to the future, what could we do as a society to bring better awareness of Kwanzaa to those of us who either would at least like to know about it anyway? What can we do to add to the education of Kwanzaa?
I think what you're doing is an example of what we should continue to do, having programs on it, talking about it, going over the principles, describing it, encouraging people who want to experience it to come to the public venues that are having it. I guess I differ a little bit perhaps with both Nicholas and Garbo. I see it as really remaining an African descendant or African American cultural holiday, but that other people might want to and could, no one says they couldn't, participate in it. But I see it as really staying as an African American cultural experience.
Well, let me ask all three of you the same question, whichever one you can chime in on it. Do you guys see that there will be a time when there might be a necessity to try and focus the attention away from a religious element? Apparently, that's not something that was started with it, but because it happens to be celebrated around all these other religious main holiday times, is there a fear that it may become too religious?
I don't see it as being too religious. As we said earlier, I see it as being very consistent from when I started celebrating it in the early 70s till now, and it hasn't taken on an overly religious component at all. That does have, as I indicated, one on Imani. I think many of the churches embrace that day because of faith. But I don't see it if in the almost 42 years that it's been in existence, I think it's been fairly consistent. So I don't fear that we'll become overly religious.
Garbo?
I don't think that it will take on a religious existence. I think spirituality and religion, to me, are two totally different things. And I think that where it falls, it just, you know, falling right after Christmas, and I think it's more so because of the beginning of the year, and everybody starts out with New Year's resolutions or whatever. So I think it falls into getting you ready for the next year, which is appropriate. The first day is the last day of Kwanzaa, so you go forth, you are prepared to have a good year.
Well, Nicholas Norfolk, what about you? Do you see that you guys, as you grow older, are going to have to focus more on the non-religious end of it, or do you think that do you fear that that might come in too much?
I don't think the religious aspect of it will come in too much. I have to agree with Garbo when she says that it's more so, of course, the way that we're going to celebrate. You know, I think it does prepare us for the upcoming year, you know, New Year's resolutions. But all the principles of Kwanzaa are something that impacts everyone's life in some time or another. This is just a time for us to, like, really look at it and reflect upon, you know, what it is that, you know, we can do personally or how we can impact others, you know, the community and empower us. I think that's what it'll do, you know, spiritually or religiously. It'll empower us, you know, and empower us personally or, you know, in organizations to, you know, get out and, you know, try to help, you know, which is the reason why I think a lot of churches do focus on Imani, because it's, you know, it's faith. Whereas someone in National Urban League, they may, you know, focus on, you know, cooperative economics, so, you know, because that's the nation and mission of that organization.
Well, Dr. Iotora, let me come back to you with the question of, I guess, a negative question. Over the years that you've watched it, have you seen, and I'll use the media as an example, have you seen efforts by anyone in the media or other organizations to foster misconception about Kwanzaa?
I wouldn't say that I've seen it being done in a way that I thought was conscious. I think that some of the misconceptions that you talked about early in the program have been misconceptions that I think come from even just the placement of it the right after Christmas, is that it's a substitute for Christmas. And in fact, many in the black community used to feel that it was a substitute for Christmas, that they had to choose between Kwanzaa and Christmas. And I think as it's developed, it's become clear that it's not a substitute, that you can celebrate both. So I think that's one. I think the other misconception you kind of touched on, which is this is an exclusively blacks-only experience, and therefore people felt that it was hostile to the white community. It is an African-American celebration. In public forum, many times we see, as Garbo said, that there are people who are not African-American who come, a few come to the celebration, but it's not hostile to the white community. And I think that that's one that I don't know if I would say it's been fostered by the media, but I think that that's one misconception that people have developed.
Well, staying with the word misconceptions, Garbo, do you see some misconceptions that have been fostered in any various way?
The only thing I can see that could possibly happen is the commercialism of the holiday. You know, the one thing about Kwanzaa, it's not, it doesn't cost money to celebrate it.
Kidding.
I mean, once you buy the kids one
Where do
year,
I sign up?
I mean, once you buy the Kwanzaa, the kid, the candles are the only things you have to buy. The next year, if you have more children, buy another ear of corn, if you will. But the gifts that are given the last day are gifts that you don't, they're handmade or books or they're, say if I bake cookies really well and I like you and I want to give you a gift, I would give you cookies. I wouldn't go out and buy something.
And that's purposeful,
you know, and that's
to
purposeful
stay away.
Is to stay away from the commercialism.
Well, you guys are sitting on a good secret here, then. Nicholas, what about you? Are there misconceptions you see surrounding even your peer group about Kwanzaa?
I've seen a couple of times, and again, I think it goes back to education. A lot of them really don't know, so a lot of them have their own thoughts about what it is or how we're supposed to observe it. You know, we all know Christmas is a big commercialization, and that's just something that's kind of out there in plain sight. And one thing about Kwanzaa, you know, that I enjoy is that it does allow you to, it's kind of like, you know, giving, people say, you know, it's the thought that counts, but really, you know, that is exactly what it is. You know, it's from the heart. You know, someone, like you said, bakes cookies well, then that's something they do, and you understand that, okay, this person is really giving themselves a part of, you know, giving me a part of them. Uh-huh. So you don't have to go out and get something that, you know, I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do or because I actually want to do it.
Nicholas Norfolk, let me ask you a question about pressure. If you have the pressure of the Christmas season that is traditional and been around forever, and then you have this new growth of Kwanzaa, do those who celebrate Kwanzaa, do they feel a pressure in that younger generation especially to do both or either?
I really don't think that the younger generation is pressuring. I think it's more so the older generation and the middle generation just needs to help guide them, you know, need to, you know, actually let them know what's going on. You know, why do we do this? You know, with any other holidays, most holidays start out the same way. A lot of people, it may have been on a calendar, but people really didn't observe it or they didn't know how to observe it or its actual importance. You know, a lot of people will say you can tell you Dr. King's birthday. And I know a place, I know it sounds far-fetched, but places that didn't observe it because people in their school weren't black. But it's not a holiday for black people. It was a holiday for everyone, which is the same way he would have wanted to see fit. You know, so I think with Kwanzaa and the younger generation, we all have to embrace it and we all have to teach one another. You know, one day I'll be the older generation, you know, telling someone about why it touched me personally. I can tell you or talk to you about it all day, but until you have that personal account with it and you have your own relationship with it and why it's important to you, that's when it actually matter and be relevant to you.
Well, let me ask you about the percentage of blacks in your generation that are aware of Kwanzaa versus those who actually celebrate Kwanzaa. Is there a percentage you can kind of guess at that actually are involved?
And maybe, I'll say 35%, maybe. But another thing is, it's kind of like we all run in certain circles. So, of course, the circle I run in, my circle of friends, of course they know about it, you know, just like they know about every other holiday or, you know, more so the conscious people. So they're going to know. They want to know, you know, so it's not a matter of, you know, what really is Kwanzaa. It's like, how can we get the people that don't know, how can we get them involved? How can we reach out to them? Mm-hmm. So, of course, the circle of friends I run, everyone knows, you know, but there's another circle that they probably don't know or no one has really told them about it, or they just kind of ignored it, you know.
Well, Garbo Hearn, what do you think about that percentage for both what you see in the younger and then compared to your middle generation? What percentage would you place on it?
That's a really hard question to answer. It's probably the socially conscious know about it. The ones that are not socially conscious, they don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess if you can tell me who's socially conscious and who's not, that'll give you your percentage. But I couldn't put a number on it.
Well, Dr. Ayotoya, the same question to you, but I guess let me temper that question with time. Because it has started really in a generation just prior to yours, actually, or just at about the same time, is the percentage naturally low at this point, and over time that percentage would increase, would you think?
I don't think the percentage is low of people who have heard about it. I think percentage, and I'm like, Garbo, I wouldn't want to put a number to it, but I think it would at least be over 50% of people who, in my generation, have heard about it, have heard Kwanzaa. I think the issue is who practices it, and I think that it would be a much lower percentage. Or celebrates it. I'm sorry, I keep using the word practice, I guess because I'm sitting in my loft. And I think that's true, though. I don't think that's necessarily negative. I think a lot of people hear about Christmas, but probably fewer people who know about Christmas actually celebrate Christmas. But there's probably a much larger number because of, you know, Christmas is Christmas, you know. So I think that I would say that the percentage of knowing is high, the percentage of practicing is probably significantly lower than that.
But time will... Garbo, would you say time will make that percentage increase naturally?
Yeah, I think so. As people grow older, they expose themselves to other families, and if you grew up celebrating it,
yeah,
then you'll expose it to the next person. So I think it's going to be a word of mouth, and mm-hmm. of course the media is going to help.
Well, and as I've said a few times, we're at the beginning stages of a new event for our society. Really, eon periods of time, this is just the beginning of it. Dr. Ayotoya, let me ask you about the pluses and minuses. Are there things about the celebration of Kwanzaa that you would like to see added to or taken away from Kwanzaa to have it develop even more?
I like it the way it is. I think it's I like the tradition. There, as I said, there are some differences in terms of, you know, what type of, if somebody, candles used or how they're used, not the lighting of the candles, and I hope I didn't mislead anyone earlier, but sometimes people have lots of candles lit, you know, or different ways of decorating other than the setup, the kit that Garbo talked about. But otherwise, it's just been tradition, and I think that I like that. I don't see adding to it or taking away from it.
How about you, Garbo Hearn? Anything to add or take away?
No, I think it's perfect just the way it is.
Nicholas?
I have to agree with them.
Okay, let me ask you guys, all three of you again, and speaking from your generation's perspective, Dr. Ayotoya, as you look at older people, what is one of the things that older people need to pay attention to about Kwanzaa that they don't know? Those of us who are not familiar about Kwanzaa, what can we look at to learn about Kwanzaa? If you're an older person, do they need to turn on the TV at a certain time to watch a program, or is there a book they should get? Or
Well, I think in Little Rock, I would suggest coming to the gallery. It's well advertised, so advertised. I've heard it over the years that I've been here. I've only been here 4.5 years, but on the radio as well as in the various print media, and then there's email that goes out as well. I would say come to the gallery. Come to the gallery, one, to participate in the celebration, and two, to get some of the literature, some of the books that are written on it.
Well, Garber Hearn, if there's a person driving down the road today with their family and they've never done anything at all about Kwanzaa, but they're African-American and they'd like to start, where can they go to start? Do they need to come to the gallery there, or is there another place they can start? Go to the library?
Go to the library. The library is the first source of information, of course, you know, to find out something and read about it. But I think for the older generation, the one thing they need to realize is they set examples. We are setting examples, and the one thing is that, you know, once we pass on, libations are given to us for the things that we've done good and right in our lives. So, you know, my whole thing is that when I'm gone and a Kwanzaa celebration, and somebody will mention my name in response to one of the principles that I'm gone. So that's one of the things that I think the older generation is celebrating. Their lives are examples mm-hmm. for others.
Well, Nicholas Norfolk, what would you tell young people who might be driving down the road listening to the program who don't know anything about Kwanzaa? Where would you tell them to go?
I would say the library, but I know how my generation is when it comes to the library. So a lot of them are probably going to get on the internet. They're probably going to Google it, or, you know, go to Wikipedia. One of the, like you can say, strength that we have is that, you know, it has a plethora of information. I mean, you can find out so much there that, you know, older generation didn't really have access to. So there's so many places you can go to where you can find out things about the website or Dr. Karinga, or, you know, how it actually got started, you know, why they added an A to it. And, you know, a lot of things that you can find out that'll actually push them in a direction where, say, they're in St. Louis, they'll find out about, you know, events going on there that they may would have never saw, you know, if they were out walking, you know, on campus or around. So I think the internet for my generation is going to basically be the way that we learn about it, or a lot of other people, you know, in my generation will pass on to other people. It could be in an email, you know, so I think that's the way that we'll learn about it.
Well, coming up when Kwanzaa begins the celebration this year, if there's a young person listening, where are you going to go on those particular dates that they might like to go?
It just depends on where I am, actually, because I try to make, you know, a personal thing, you know, with the family, but if I've never been in Little Rock at the time, you know, it's been going on, so I've never been to the gallery. You know, even though I've heard about it a lot, because, like, again, a lot of people that I travel in the same circle, so, you know, they'll tell me to come on by, you know, so if I'm here, I'll be there, you know, so I'll, like, you know, come on, go along, you know, just, you know, to experience it. You know, that's mm-hmm. the main thing, experience it for yourself.
Well, Garber Hearn, let me give you an opportunity here as we close out the program. Again, what's coming up, especially there at the gallery, that people, and what are the hours, when can people come by and learn something about it?
Okay, well, it's Pyramid Art Books and Custom Framing and Hearn Fine Art. We're located at 500 President Clinton Avenue. We're open daily, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturdays from 11 to 6, and Sundays 2 to 5. The actual ceremonies will start on December 26th, which is the first day of Kwanzaa. And let me correct myself, it's the 30th, which is Sunday, which is the when we will celebrate Nia. And that ceremony will start at 2 o'clock. And then the Monday and Tuesday, the 1st, it will start at 1 o'clock. At 12 o'clock.
Are there admission costs to come?
No, there's no cost. It's free.
You just show up.
Just show up and participate, because it is it's not where one person does all the talking. Everyone participates in the ceremony.
Do they need to bring anything?
Bring themselves, bring their children, bring friends.
No, and do they bring candles, or is that done at home?
No, everything is, I mean, we show you how to do it at home. We do the ceremony, we go through it, and mm-hmm. we have books that can teach you about it. We have pamphlets and things of that nature, so we can teach you how to do it at home, because I do it at work, and then I go home and do it with my family. So,
you know, it's interesting. If someone were to pull out the CD of this program 100 years from now and listen to this program on Kwanzaa, they probably would say, that guy sure didn't know very much about Kwanzaa compared to where they are 100 years from now. Let's hope,
well, let's
anyway.
Let's hope so.
We've been very happy to talk about Kwanzaa here today. And if you have not celebrated Kwanzaa, this program, of course, is airing here on Tuesday the 18th. We've got Kwanzaa coming up. So heighten your attention, even if you're a non-black, heighten your attention to Kwanzaa. Learn something about it so you can celebrate with your friends about Kwanzaa this year and years to come. My guest with me here in the studio, speaking from the younger generation, has been Nicholas Norfolk. He's a student here at UALR. He's the Chief Justice of the Student Government Association. Glad to have you with us here today, Nicholas.
Glad to be here.
And then speaking from the middle generation has been Garbo Hearn, and we've mentioned a few times here about the Hearn Fine Art Gallery over there on 500 President Clinton Avenue. The fact that we're trying to gain attention for the Kwanzaa celebration, those of you listening, head over there to the Fine Arts Gallery this season here and enjoy something about Kwanzaa. Garbo, glad to have you with us here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And then joining us from her office, where she's been doing a lot of grading because the finals coming up here, or finals that are passed anyways, been Ajua Ayatora, and she's a professor at the ULR William H. Bowen School of Law. A lot of things to say good about her, but I, again, Dr. Ayatora, I appreciate your time at this, especially at this very busy time for you.
Thank you very much for having me and having this program.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm glad you guys could be here. Again, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time in the new year.